The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member. And we don't mean your Aunt Dolores.
You stink!
The TNT Shop has it all. At TNTRadio.live. Thanks for listening and for being a part of Jason Q's Citizen and Friends on today's News Talk Radio, TNT. TNT.
Welcome back, citizens, and I'm happy to be back after a short stint out with a stuffy nose and a horrible chest, and you can probably guess what all that's about, but 2 days in a protocol and back on deck and ready to celebrate in many ways what is, I think, the biggest week of 2022 so far in terms of news and in terms of the establishment looking as old and as battered and as weak as Joe Biden himself. I'd like to welcome all new citizens to my show. You are here because you want to know what is happening and what we can do about it. Better yet, when we do win on our battle against the establishment globalists, what do we do about it? For once in a long time, there is a real debate on social media this week, and the citizen journalists are having a field day. Not even hours after the missile blast in Poland were there pictures of the shell dropped on Poland analysed. Similarly, on Twitter, after the FTX collapse, data analysis and the narrative weaved by a broad group of crypto analysts brought the truth out in great detail, leaving the mainstream news in their wake, whether they wanted to cover it or not. But it truly has been an unbelievable, unbelievable week going ahead. The FTX collapse, which I'll talk about more in the second hour, is bigger than Enron, it's bigger than Bernie Madoff, and it encapsulates everyone. And it probably is the reason why what we saw this week in Poland had to occur. Now, despite President Trump's seemingly pedestrian announcement that he's again running for a third time for the White House on Tuesday night from his home at Mar-a-Lago, and I admit I was a critic of it, but I was schooled in just how this game is played, and I must say that Trump is a master. And this despite his vaccine salesmanship, and there's a story behind that story as well, which we'll talk about later. But he's also has to be the world's greatest volunteer politician. He won't take a salary. And yes, he does not keep any money, of course, as I just said, from his work serving the people of the United States. And in turn, the people of the entire world. His speech was pedestrian. It was unexciting. It was nothing of what he promised and what many of his supporters were expecting. But goodness me, he played the establishment for fools. And he deliberately downplayed the election tampering, the FTX collapse, and even the Ukrainian false flag attempt on Poland to blame Putin. And yep, and I'm calling it that. They're all opportunities for him to come out swinging for his dedicated army of patriots, domestic and foreign. Make no mistake, Trump is the leader of the global anti-establishment, it's the pro-sovereignty movement, I should say, and it took me a day at least to figure it all out. He played a very straight bat and left his opponents with nothing but their own ridiculous accusations that Putin bombed a NATO country by overshooting Ukraine with a Ukrainian weapon. So what does it all mean? Just look at this week. Trump announces on the same day that Zelensky is exposed with this Polish false flag attempt. And at the same time, Daniel Andrews in Australia has been exposed by Sky News, and Atagi drops the jab for young people here in Australia, at least the fourth jab being the second booster. So Ukraine hit Poland, but not before Zelensky called for NATO to strike Russia in retaliation. Apparently, Zelensky wants to sue for peace. Maybe that's because FTX bankrupted him, or perhaps he lost his usefulness. I mean, Ukraine is the black money capital of Earth. Then the next day, with Trump's announcement set, a missile lands in NATO Poland, and Zelensky blames Russia. Biden realizes it's not Russia, which puts Ukraine in the frame for literally throwing it over the fence. So Ukraine is more or less gone, but not NATO. Now, here's the big question. What if Zelensky who has two options here. If he didn't know about the missile, then he needs to resign because he's lost the respect of his military. And if he did know it, what if Zelensky is the first arrest, the one that shocks the entire world? And he starts naming names. Now, NATO nations on the brink of World War III being played with this so-called possible false flag attempt, they cannot ignore of a known corrupt failed state scheming money, playing victim as the puppet president when disputed territories exist. When else would Putin have struck in historical terms, playing the long game to get back these disputed regions? One wonders now what was in the soccer ball. If FTX's collapse and Zelensky's pathetic false flag attempt, a repeat of World War I's trigger, the deep state's final attempt, then they have truly been exhausted. Deep state's in big trouble. This is pathetic, and I'll tell you this, from here I can see that we are going to win. And those globalist opponents are truly geniuses. But for the now, the deep state is pretending that this was an accident, and their only other option is to surrender Ukraine. The new house steps in, a Republican house, and now the Ukraine is exposed. The bio labs, all of COVID, the Pizzagate material emanating from Ukraine, the money laundering, this has to be it. Ironically, Kevin McCarthy becomes house leader, and we will get McCarthyism 2.0, and they'll call it another communist witch hunt. Can you believe it? They are going to call us communist next. Of course they are. It also means that we're winning. Did you know that there are many ways that you can listen to TNT Radio? Why not stream us direct from our website on your desktop, tablet, or mobile device, or download our app from the App Store? We even stream live on YouTube, Rumble, and Odyssey. We've got you covered on TNT Radio.
Factual news as you need it.
They are a reliable source.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And in the segment of the news called Of Course They Would Say That, the United States says Russia is ultimately responsible for the Poland missile incident. But who stands to benefit? And what is the evidence? Jeremy Beck, our intrepid news producer, is here with the latest. Welcome, Jeremy.
Thanks, Jason. Yes, I've had a look at the White House National Security Council spokesperson's statement, Adrienne Watson. Adrienne, she released this statement, which is worth reading just to see their point of view, which is interesting because they even admit that there was no deliberate action Russia to attack Poland. It's just amazing. But what you've got is you've got Warsaw and Moscow. They've both identified an S-300 air defense missile, but Poland says it's Russian made, and Russia's pointed out that it was in Ukrainian service. But the official statement, and of course the White House, they say, oh no, it's all Russia's fault anyway. They say we have full confidence in the Polish government's investigation of the explosion near the border with Ukraine, and we commend them for the professional and deliberate manner in which they are conducting it. We will not get ahead of their work and remain in close touch with our Polish counterparts as we are still gathering information. We have seen nothing that contradicts President Duda's preliminary assessment that this explosion was most likely the result of a Ukrainian air defense missile that unfortunately landed in Poland. But then she goes on and she says, whatever the case may be, Russia is ultimately responsible for this incident because Ukraine had a right to defend themselves. That's what she said. Now, it's true that Russia did launch quite a big missile attack on Ukraine. That's true. On Tuesday, Russia launched a large-scale missile strike on Ukraine. At the time, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, he said that 85 missiles had struck Ukrainian territory, while the energy minister, Germain Galushenko, called it the most massive shelling of the nation's energy system. So the point is that you've got here the United States saying, well, you know, but Ukraine had a right to defend themselves. But there's no way that Russia was deliberately sending missiles into Poland. And Zelensky's got himself caught out there, and he's insisting, "Oh no, this was definitely not our missiles." He says, "I have no doubt. This is Zelensky. I have no doubt it was not our missile or our missile strike." So it's an interesting thing because it's been used, Jason, as a kind of a false flag kind of an operation, but it's been used to whip up the so-called international community to go along, blame Russia and try and escalate it, perhaps trying to go towards an Article 5 kind of an arrangement where all the NATO allies would have to, you know, gang up against the attacker.
It's very interesting, only that the attacker looks more likely Zelensky than Putin. Putin's fingerprints are nowhere near this thing. And what's interesting is if you're looking at a map and you're looking at Ukraine in the center, Poland's on the left and Russia's on the right, Russia has to overshoot Ukraine to get it into Poland, which is why Biden said the trajectory of this missile was all wrong and couldn't have been Russia. And then what would Zelensky be doing firing at a missile that ends up in Poland by going left if it's coming from the right? That makes no sense at all. And if Zelensky's not aware that this weapon was one of his own, then he must resign. He's incompetent at this point. And if he's covering for the fact that he gave the order to shoot it into Poland, then he's guilty of crimes against humanity and must be sent to The Hague and executed. There's no other way out of it for Zelensky. So this guy is being set up to be the fall guy and give NATO a big set of relief. But the other problem we have is that Ukraine is not a NATO country, and their weapon has ended up in Poland, a NATO country. So if you're going to have any Article 5, NATO's got to fire on Ukraine at this point. It's the ultimate geopolitical own goal, Jeremy.
It's interesting, isn't it? Obviously, that won't happen with NATO attacking Ukraine, even though it seems to be a Ukrainian weapon. And Warsaw and Moscow have both identified it as an S-300 air defense missile. So that's interesting. And Zelensky, he's looking pretty stupid right now. So I think we're in a position where I expect to see more of these sorts of incidences to try and whip up hysteria, anti-Russian hysteria. I don't think this will be the last one. I think this will be one in a series. And you know, be aware of false flags in future, because we've seen that all over the world. We've seen that in Syria. This bad Syrian leader, Assad, was attacking his own people with gas, weapons of gas, which turned out not to be true. These are the sorts of things that get whipped up to try and whip up people's emotions to justify some war. And that's the concern I have, that this won't be the last incident at all.
Oh, indeed. And, of course, this other unbelievable headline that the former Lublin Council Chair, Jaroslaw Pakula, said Warsaw should rethink its stance on the conflict. This is something else, isn't it? So Poland rethinking towards the conflict in Ukraine after provocation on the part of Kiev. Something else here. So now we're getting a division, and this is where the split is. I mean, all of this has been trying to split the Republicans in light of Trump's very pedestrian, I thought, announcement that he's going to run for president, which was exactly the opposite of what everyone expected. He made no allegations really about anything. He just said that we're going to get America to get better again. It starts now. And now the other side is actually divided. And of course, this is at the same time that Chuck Schumer re-elected to Congress in a now Republican-controlled Congress is telling people that MAGA should end because they're losing support. I mean, everything is inverted in this world, Jeremy.
Oh, that's right. And we're at a time now where you have a global economy is right knife on edge. And when you have economic crises, you usually have war that follows that. Unfortunately, you look in history, we had the Great Depression and followed with World War II. And we're at a stage where we've had, over the last years, we had the global financial crisis, 2008. The world economy has been really teetering along on borrowed time. They're kicking the can down the road of the Western powers that run our central banks. They've been pumping up the economy with quantitative easing, and this is their end game. And the end game is to try and cook up some incident to justify a war. And that's the big concern I have. This won't be the last incident. And, you know, at the moment, I don't think that they'll get away with this particular one to push, you know, a full-scale, you know, escalation against Russia this time, but it's moving in that direction.
Oh, it's truly unbelievable. This is enough to hang Zelensky, and of course we're going to see the fact that they're going to do what they always do and cover it up. But this time the people are aware, and the attitude on social media is something to be seen. I mean, there are many people now. There was no one calling out Zelensky in the past apart from the truly dedicated, but now the sentiment is turning and they're realizing that this man is truly a puppet. And running a clearly a failed state, if he's indeed running it at all. But it seems with the collapse of FTX, this is not unrelated, given that money was being passed through FTX to Ukraine, despite the fact checkers giving us a completely different argument, of course. But most of the information that's coming out, not even the fact checkers can even find anything close to put warnings and part warnings and all those types of things on it. So finally, the people on this side of the fence, the truth is coming out, and the truth is very, very hard to ignore. And this is a big, big turning point in the globalists' collapse. And hopefully we're going to get closer to getting out of their evil clutches very, very soon. Terrific report, Jeremy. I look forward to speaking to you again next week. I'll be away Friday and Monday, and you're going to sit in the chair for me with some fantastic interview subjects. So I'm looking forward to that one.
That'd be great, Jason.
Good on you, Jeremy. All the best. We're going to take a break. And Rebecca Lloyd, Fair Business Australia, is here with her biggest week yet since she's been standing up for Australian businesses. I can't wait to speak to her. You're listening to TNT Radio.
You should hear what Jeremy Nell is talking about.
We keep hearing the term sustainable development. Now, that's a real thing, and there's no ways we can pretend it's not happening. So the best thing to do right now is to know what it is and then to buffer against it.
A lot of these terms like sustainable and, you know, resilient, saving the planet, and the way that the idea is pitched sounds very plausible and sounds something like we should be concerned about. And indeed we should. I mean, there are many aspects of what we're doing to the environment that we should be concerned about. You know, we are causing environmental damage with our industrial practices around the world. There's no doubt about that, and I think that's important to acknowledge. But sustainable development as it is pitched at the moment focuses very much upon the bogeyman of carbon dioxide in terms of CO2 emissions and the claimed need that we need to reduce CO2 emissions. The solution that is on offer at a globalist level hasn't really got anything to do with reducing carbon emissions. It's about a restructuring of the global economy and about the introduction of a new international monetary and financial system.
Jeremy Nell on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Wokeness is infiltrating churches and people don't really know what's hitting them.
Critical race theory assumes that racism is everywhere, it is in everything. These ideologies have crept into the church.
I have grown up with this invisible kind of bag of privilege.
And I know, as a white pastor, I have blind spots.
Reparations fits into the scope of the gospel.
It's a racist worldview. You're swinging in racism.
The social justice warriors say, if you're white, you are racist. And if you say that you are not a racist, then you have to be a white supremacist.
I see within evangelicalism today an attack on the very gospel itself.
Social justice doesn't have to do with justice, it has to do with Marxism.
Wokeness is now the dominant academic paradigm on many university and college campuses.
Many of our Christian universities have fallen prey.
I went to an all-black school, raised in a black context. Everything was oppression. White people are racist, cops can't be trusted, and this world is not for us, it's against us. We felt like the government owed us. I have a family, I have children, and I don't have a job. I was just, it was at the darkest point in my life.
Because I was white, would we have to divorce and separate due to my skin color?
Christianity enables people to find forgiveness and redemption. However, Marxism is completely vindictive.
There is no redeemer and there is no redemption in the religion of anti-racism.
I believe that the evangelical church today is going to have to make a decision. Are we going to submit to the culture, or are we going to remain true to the faith and take the consequences?
How the left is stealing your church. The invasion of the gospel of woke at salemnow.com.
There's no dispute. The jabs are not safe or effective. Today's news talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back, citizens. Rebecca Lloyd is the founder and spokesperson for Fair Business Australia. She's also the creator of Join the Conversation and was the independent Senate candidate for Brisbane in this year's federal election. You wouldn't know it. Well, you probably would because she's so talented, but she's also an amazing singer and a friend of this show. This week, Rebecca launched her new campaign directly to businesses concerned about digital ID laws and in turn recorded what must be her biggest response ever. Much to my delight, she's managed to find an hour to find time to join me again on Jason Q Citizen and Friends. Welcome back, Rebecca.
Oh, my friend, it's so great to be back. I can't wait to chew through this hour with a whole bunch of passion and a whole bunch of just epicness. So let's get started.
Good on you, Beck. It's truly remarkable. I was following the post this week and you got some real traction. And this is because of this compulsory digital ID law for companies, directors and businesses. It's a great tragic leap into this whole security thing at the exact right time when we're seeing digital hacks all over the board, where the government, who has been peddling privatization, saying that we're not good enough to look after businesses, so what we're going to do is sell them to private corporations because you're better at doing this, only to turn that on its head and invert it and say, you're not good at handling our people's IDs and data. So we're going to take it back now with a brand new system that we've just created out of thin air miraculously, and you're all going to have to do it to protect yourselves. And just as it happens, the government, who has government leaders who leave their jobs, premiers and prime ministers, often go into the corporate world and they're apologising on behalf of the Medibank customers, who 10 million of them had their data hacked, was former Premier of Queensland, Anna Bligh, sitting there taking a big fat salary, telling everyone to go suck eggs. What have I missed?
Well, I don't know. What have you missed? I'd say dirty deals done in the dark. I think you just need to ask some questions. I feel like the Medibank thing and then the Optus thing, I'm like, I don't know. Was there actually a data breach? It all seems really convenient to me. You know, you can only blame the quote-unquote Russians a certain amount of times before you start going, you know what? You had this solution, quote-unquote, that you just pulled out of thin air seemingly in response to these massive data breaches. It just feels like such a narrative. It's like a terrible soap opera that just goes on and on and on and hooks you in and you're like, oh, now what's going to happen? And as conservative mama says, who I love her and I follow her, it's for the greater good. It's for the greater good. And I just don't like it. I didn't even know that this had happened because the email that I got from my accountant, because I happen to be a company director, it went to my spam. Because it was obviously that important that even my email just went, I'm not interested in that. So I only found out about it this week when someone actually called me up on the Fair Business Australia phone number and said, I'm really scared. I don't know what to do. I need a solution. And I'm like, what? What are you even talking about? And so now I'm in the same boat. Now, this might be a rumor and I'm yet to find out. Tonight I have a legal seminar with someone who actually knows what they're talking about, international human rights advocate Andrea Takagi. But as far as I'm aware, they have backdated the requirements to get this director's ID to November of last year, which means there is no wiggle room. Even if you change or you step down, no, you were a director during the set time. So like the fight has come to my doorstep. It really, really has. And I feel like I'm just going to come out guns blazing, arms swinging, and I'm going to do everything I can. And thankfully, I'm actually not alone this time. There are lots of people who are willing to have skin in the game, not your mum and pop business owners that, you know, just have a corner store or a hairdressing salon. No, these are company directors who have the wherewithal to put together company structures, who have legal representation, who have accountants coming out the wazoo. So I think this bodes very well. And I will just add, I'm almost finishing soapboxing. I will just add that I just got a text message from George Christensen. So he's also seen what's going on and he wants to throw his hat in the ring as well. Plus, I'm going to be talking to Tony Nikolic, which he's infamous in this space now too. So they're the right people coming out of the woodwork at just the right time. I think that we will start to be proactive finally and not just reactive in what is a continuing propagandized, fear-based, just overreaching governmental authority situation.
Oh, Beck, it's nice to see that you're back in form, fighting them off at the door. But I know that this is when you thrive more than ever in all of this. And at long last, the people are starting to put two and two together and they're joining forces. We're going to pause for news headlines. And when we come back, we're going to dig a lot deeper and provide you with a whole lot more information about how this rearguard attack is going to work to defend against a government out of control and into what we're going to call the setup for the social credit score system. Don't go anywhere. This is, of course, the one and only TNT Radio.
Taking a look at your TNT Radio news headlines, I'm Darren Metzer. Chinese President Xi Jinping has publicly confronted the Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau at the G20 summit in Bali over claims he leaked sensitive information about their informal bilateral meeting. United States Republicans have regained control of the House of Representatives, securing a narrow majority in a midterm election. And up to 40,000 mink have been set loose in northwestern Ohio after vandals broke into a farm and released them from their cages.
At TNT Radio, we never go home. We're committed to bringing you our take on the biggest topics of our time. We broadcast live 24/7 online globally. No matter what, we've got you covered on TNT Radio.
And we're back with Rebecca Lloyd of Fair Business Australia. Rebecca, the idea of this digital ID involving, firstly, company directors spreads further than that. Can you tell us for who is the government saying that this is now compulsory? Does it extend all the way down to sole traders, for example?
I truthfully can't speak that far, Jason, because I've only had this across my desk for 3 days. I can definitely say that it is directors. I've got people contacting me saying that they're sole traders and they're not really sure what they can do. So I will have more information for you tomorrow. I wish I had that information now, but this has come as such a surprise to me that I'm just gathering all the people that I need to be able to give out the correct information at the right time.
Sure. So this week you're on social media and you are talking about this and clearly you got a massive response. I mean, some 300,000 interactions or something. I saw those numbers up on the screen and you've held a meeting. Can you tell us how many people were trying to get into that meeting to give us an idea of the magnitude of concern?
Yeah, well, so far the bookings are still coming because people want the replay. Obviously, not everybody could get on because the registration was closed. I had email after email after email saying, I can't get in, I can't get in. So we've so far had 2,080 people that wanted to get onto that Zoom and they're still coming. The video, the last time I looked, the first video that I put up was at 172,000 views. And that is quite surprising because for the last 6 months, my profile has been almost non-existent. To even get to 2,000 views was quite surprising. We hit our peak of 110,000 for the 17th of December mandates. That was the peak of where we were last time. And that took a solid East Coast tour, really putting myself out there, getting everybody to understand the brand, going live every single day. And I certainly haven't been doing that now. This one video that I actually recorded whilst I was eating popcorn and watching a movie. And I was like, actually, you know what? Okay about this. I'm going to just get back in the ring. Yes, I am. And then, and the rest is history and still going on now.
Good on you. And this is the funny thing about what we do here in this space using social media, is the best videos are always the impromptu ones that you just say, you know what, I'm just going to have a go at this and see what happens. And you're always surprised at the response that you get. And I do concur with what you're saying in terms of social media. My social media pages are virtually non-existent. So, I mean, I'm literally inside a padded cell talking to myself and about four people that managed to find the posts, and they're the same four people really. But it used to be that a video would get between 50 and 100,000 views across YouTube and Facebook. YouTube is just at the approach now that they just find videos from 15 months ago and justify putting them they delete them and give me that whole ban thing to put me on a permanent 90-day second stage warning, so you can't record anything, so you don't bother. And during the election campaign, nothing got over 500 to 1,000 views from coming down from those massive. They wiped out 99% of what you're saying. So this is a really interesting point. And of course, the other thing that they do is that when you go into these pages and you want to like something, a message pops up and says, oh, this page has repeatedly shared, news that was fake or against a community standard or some nonsense like that. And of course, that prevents people from sharing. They don't want to share. And so the sharing stops, and that's part of the process of what's going on. Yeah. So many listeners will now understand why it is that a lot of their favorites, they don't see anymore. I remember watching a fellow called Jimmy Church 2 years ago. He'd get 200,000 people on everything. I tuned in for a live the other day to see what his audience was like. He had three people. It's truly extraordinary that's going on. So, Beck, you've clearly made a massive inroad here in something that's really, really frightening for people. And if the businesses and the company directors, those that were in cahoots with the entire COVID narrative, have now turned it on its head, then this is a breakthrough point here. So what happens next? What are people asking for, and what information were you able to talk to them about?
Well, a bunch of people have already gone and gotten the ID. Because people are busy and the accountant just said, hey, you just need to get this done, which I actually think was really, really sneaky and clever. Because if it really was a massive issue, where was the government actually talking about media? Like, why was there no advertisement campaign? Why was there not this? Because they know that as business owners, we don't trust them. We don't trust them at all. So what they've done, they've sent it out to the paper pushers, the accountants, and said, hey, you just need to get people. The accountants don't even know why we have to do this, because people are saying to me, I've asked my accountant, oh, I don't know, just do it. So people have done it and now they don't want to do it. Can I undo it? I'm not sure if I can undo it. And after 2.5 years of lockdowns and mandates and fear mongering and pushing back, now if you do not get this director ID, you are up for a $13,000 fine. I don't know about you, I don't have $13,000 just sitting around in my back pocket. And so, again, it is the government using the dollar to control people. And I am so firmly against that. Frankly, I don't care whether it's just a tax grab. I don't care whether it's to try and wipe out those 1% of bad apples from the barrel. I don't care whether it's to start the digital ID China, terrible system that people are afraid of. Whether it's either of those three circus rings, I don't care. What I care about is that you are going to use the dollar and hold it over my head to make me do something that up until now has not been required at all. You're telling me that you can't find me from my driver's license. You're telling me that you can't find me from my voting status. You're telling me that you can't find me from all these different places. For one, if it is a tax grab, just get your governmental organizations talking to one another and work it out that way. If it's getting the 1% bad apples out of the barrel, then deal with the Australian Federal Police a little bit better and get it sorted out. But if it's number three, where you're again coming after people, and now you're coming after leaders who have dozens of employees in certain situations, but in other situations, company directors are directors of not-for-profits. They don't have two pennies to rub together, let alone $13,000. And so you're controlling people with the money. And anytime the government tries to control people with money, the fact that the government is not our overlords, they are our employees. They work for us. Taxpayer dollars pay governmental salaries. and it is not right for them to hold the dollar over us and make us do something that we do not want to do. And because this fight has come to my door, and because it seems right now that I don't have any wiggle room, I don't have a choice. I either go and find $13,000 or I go and get a director ID, and I'm not going to do either of those things. So what's my third choice? Because entrepreneurs always come up with a third choice. The third choice is you go out there, you run your mouth, and you find as many people as possible. And thankfully, that third solution is working very well. Thank you very much.
Oh, look, I'm so glad. And if anyone was going to be able to do that, it was Rebecca Lloyd of Fair Business Australia. Let's pick up on a few points there. The idea that they're going to basically use it as cover to weed out the bad eggs. What happened to the presumption of innocence in modern society? That seems to have gone by the wayside. So that's the first point that I'd like to make there. And the idea, therefore, that if they can get away with getting these directors to take on their IDs, then what they're going to do is they're going to make abusers out of these directors who've said, well, I had to do it, so you will do it, Miss Employer, Mr. Employee, I should say. This is a big problem. Now, the reason that we know that that's the way that it's going to go is that what did you just say that the accountants have been saying to their clients? Just do it.
Yep.
Just do it. And what did the GPs say to their patients about an experimental vaccine that they forgot to tell their patients was experimental? Oh, just take it. Just take it. Yep. And so here we have a situation of going along to get along, which is actually a form of passive abuse that has been instigated by government that knows exactly what it is doing. And if we are all meant to trust all-knowing authority, there is no other justification for any of this, particularly as there was no education process. It was deliberately deceptive in all of this. Goodness me, they go out and run million-dollar advertising campaigns for nothing. Daniel Andrews is in Victoria putting tampon machines in because it's a necessity. I mean, goodness me, shelter's a necessity. Is he giving away free homes, this moron? I mean, where are we going in this world today? Everything is inverted, and our audience is certainly well aware of it, but it is in the detail in all of this that people need to understand why it is that it's so wrong and so inverted. So these points that you bring up are absolutely critical in people being able to stand up. And, of course, what we're saying now in all of this is that necessity will make you want to speak out, and it's not another rally season that we're going to go out there and protest. Company directors do not have time for any of this, but what they do is being able to protest. And one wonders if there are going to be hundreds of thousands of company directors and businesses in Australia that all say, you know what, get stuffed. I'm not paying you 13 grand and I'm not getting a digital ID. Then what are they going to do? Shut down business in Australia?
And we'll see whether that happens, Jason, because I really had high hopes that small business would say no, get stuffed, because there are many more small businesses than there are company directors, and that regrettably did not happen. They picked off the strong ones one by one. They picked off the outspoken ones one by one, and it remains to be seen whether the same thing will happen with the company directors. I might go to prison. I've actually thought about that. I have actually thought about that. And I thought, well, what a noble way to go and do some time behind bars. You know what? I'll just teach the people in there some entrepreneurial skills whilst I'm there. Because I am living for legacy. And that is what these company directors in last night's call also, they weren't even asking questions about their company. They were asking questions about the future of Australia. What does this look like for our kids? What does this look like for our communities? There was a passion and a fire on last night's call that I have not encountered before from people who are already very used to being in leadership positions. I am very, very excited. I'm also very excited at the number of men that were outspoken on last night's call. The challenge with the men at the moment is that many men during the mandates and the lockdowns, a man's job is to protect and to provide. Just track with me, folks, because it will make sense when I finish this. I promise you, you'll love what I'm going to say. A man's job is to protect and to provide. Most men looked at these mandates and said, I need to protect my family and I need to provide for my family. And in order to protect and provide for my family, I need to continue working. And so these men have laid down their own lives. They have put their own bodies on the altar of choice and gone and got vaccinated, even though they didn't want to, so they could protect and provide. And so I honor all the men out there that made a decision under duress for the benefit of their families, whether you're divorced or whether you're a single dad or when married, it doesn't matter. But right now, it is now time for the men to get another axe at the tree, because the tree is still standing. It's only gotten stronger. And I think during this time, we're going to see a beautiful connection between women directors and men directors who are positioned very, very powerfully to be able to push back, because we have a little bit more of resources to our advantage than powerfully to be able to push back, because we have a little bit more of resources to our advantage than some of the small business owners did. And I think it's going to be our greatest day ever. If I didn't, I wouldn't fight back as hard as I am. Well, I would actually, but I wouldn't be as excited as what I am. And I'm very excited because I'm glad to be back in the ring again. I'm glad to be swinging again, and I'm glad to be going 12 rounds. And I know that what I'm saying is calling to a lot of people listening to this radio show right now. You didn't miss it. You didn't miss your time to shine. You did not miss the battle. It's just getting started. And so if you didn't take to the field last time and you feel a bit disappointed, now is the time that you can take to the battleground. Now is the time that you can live for legacy. Now is the time that protecting and providing takes on a whole new ball game, because we are one step closer to that digital ID. We are one step closer to that terrible Chinese system, that communism system that nobody wants in this country. So it's exciting, and get excited, because this is our time to shine. The Great Reset is not going to come. It's going to be a great awakening. It's going to be beautiful. We're going to rebuild our economies. We're going to rebuild our communities. We're going to rebuild small business. We're finally going to have government officials that actually represent what we want for our communities and not just overlorded over us with their dirty deals done in the dark. It's all good news.
Fantastic, Beck. It's so much more we're going to talk about. And I'm just going to leave you with this quick thought before we throw to the break. Gina Reinhart was apparently at Mar-a-Lago for the announcement of Trump running for president, which set off alarm bells amongst lefty bloggers and news people wondering why she would be there supporting someone who's connected to, of all things, the QAnon movement, if you can believe that. And one wonders in all of this is somebody like Gina Reinhart, with her clout, would be lining up or has already got her digital ID or, in fact, would regret it. But it's interesting that high up in the corporate world, even in that part, there are people who are bucking the system. And I'll tell you what, when the netballers told her where to stick her $15 million, she didn't have a problem giving that to someone else. So maybe there's an ally after all in all of this, particularly as one of the world's biggest mining magnates. Truly unbelievable times that we're in. I'm going to take that break now on TNT Radio.
The midterms, and America has voted. With his expert analysis, this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
Sometimes fire is cleansing and productive. Gold and other precious metals are refined in fire. Sometimes fire clears out detritus and enables new growth. When forests aren't meddled with, regular fires clear out undergrowth, return nutrients to the soil, and open up space for new trees to grow. Indeed, bristlecone pines require exposure of their pine cones to fire before they will release their seeds. Such can be the case in politics, too. Due to voter apathy and laziness, Congress has been allowed to become sclerotic with an accretion of octogenarians who have thrived by gaming the system in their favor. But their greed might have sparked the wildfire known as the FTX scandal to race through both houses of Congress and both political parties. The cleansing can't come too soon. It's never the conservatives, the Freedom Caucus Republicans, who get caught with their hands in the cookie jar. FTX might just be the best way to clear the decks of Republicans who would rather lose than fight for we the people and our republic. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
You better lock up your sons when the ex-girls hit town. We're an irresistible force. We have the power to get whatever and whoever we want. Let's go. Time to find somewhere hot. We cut through the traffic. No one can stand in our way. Wait there. Don't move a muscle, the paramedic said.
The driver said I just ran out in front of him. I can't remember anything, but I've been told I'll be on crutches for a while, and my miniskirt wearing days are over.
Too much alcohol makes you feel invincible when you're most vulnerable. At least 77% of pedestrians killed in road accidents at night had been drinking. Alcohol. Know your limits.
When you need to know what's going on around the world and at home, keep it on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
And we're back with Rebecca Lloyd of Fair Business Australia, and it is a magnificent show today. Rebecca is fully fired up for probably the biggest battle of her career so far. Truly amazing. And in the next hour, we're going to have Darren in from Plymouth, as usual, with his news update. And John O'Looney, the world's most famous funeral director, will be here to drop some more truth bombs on what we've learnt about the tragedy of what was the COVID vaccine and what still is. Beck, there is so much that we could talk about in that space, but as you were a former One Nation candidate, have you decided to take this fight back to your former party and asked Pauline Hanson her thoughts on the matter of digital ID?
I love that you just brought that up. Do you know what? I think that the Greens were very sneaky. And I think that the left-wing media, were very sneaky, and the right-wing media were then very lazy and didn't do any fact-checking, and they just ran with the story as well. And as a result of that, I was a very, very strong contender for the seat of Brisbane, and I was unfortunately removed from the race. Would I have won had there not been electoral interference? I think I would have had a pretty red-hot go. However, strong women work together, and Pauline Hanson is an incredibly strong woman. And I know that she is very, very determined to raise up the next generation. So I will be reaching out to her, and let's see if she's ready to take on this fight. She does have quite a few fights on her hands at the moment, being a senator. But I think it'll be fun to get back in the ring with the generation before and the current generation, both standing side by side. We've already shared the stage quite a few times together, and certainly been like-minded around the mandates and the lockdowns. So yeah, I would definitely for the good of the country. Absolutely. People tried to put bad blood between us. You know what? It's politics. Politics is a dirty, dirty game. And for her to survive as long as she has in the political arena, 20-something years, I tip my hat to that. But I don't think that the relationship between myself and Ms. Hanson is over by any stretch of the imagination, and we will see.
Goodness me, I tell you what, true warriors, both of you in this game, and she certainly has done it tougher than many politicians ever. She was even thrown into prison where she was eventually released, and it was all reversed. But that is one tough lady. And this is certainly a bridge for her or a hill that I don't think she wants to climb over. She's going to die on this hill too, because this is all about our freedoms. And if there's anyone that's going to back it up. And it's interesting, of course, that George Christensen's reached out to you He now is a One Nation member. So this would all work in well together. And of course, Malcolm Roberts is a presenter on this station, TNT Radio. So we are certainly all working in together with all of this, but it's wonderful, as I just said, that the Australian women are just so powerful. I'll just quickly mention this story as well. One of our regular guests on the program, Kate Mason, who ran for the Informed Medical Options Party on the central coast of New South Wales, is now one of Australia's leaders in terms of smart cities awareness. And I spoke to her recently. She'll be on the show next week. And what we're talking about now is something that the Teals did, but very differently, would be for a strong suite of probably women who will each run as for mayor in their local councils as independents to raise awareness for what the smart cities thing is, which, when you think digital ID for company directors, smart cities and social credit scores and surveillance, and the idea that councils will cede their power to a private organization under the guise of globalism and the World Economic Forum to set up these new so-called better options. Now, the government is taking its power back from corporations, and it's assuming it, and it's only going to hand it back to another private organization or company to then run the world. This is the great scam and the great setup. I don't think we're misreading what we're seeing here, but it's certainly showing that digital ID, for if you want to give up, now is the time to give up and walk away from your directorship. But this is a battle that's got many more steps. This is just step two of how it is that we're going to defeat the criminals that run the world today, which are disguised as government authorities, Beck.
Mm, absolutely. Well, it's all bristles on the same brush. Safe cities, director IDs, you know, let's get up to booster 759. It's you know, let's have renewable energy. That's the big thing right now. All the government's banging on about is renewable this and renewable that and renewable this. I'm just like, you know what? People are homeless. People's businesses are closing down. The economy is tumbling down around our ears. Inflation, let's get that sorted first. We have some of the cheapest and best coal in the entire world, and we are exporting it at a pittance and then buying it back. It's ridiculous. Like, these bureaucrats, these people have clearly never been business owners. Have you ever balanced a profit loss statement in your life? Like, it's a kindergartner could see that it's a stupid way of doing things. Oh, let's shut down all of our coal and go with renewables, which are made from, you know, oh, my word, it's just so stupid. A short lifespan, the cost to make them is just, they very rarely get back what they're even worth to make them. I'm just astonished. I'm astonished, and the government does not care about the Australian people. It doesn't. And putting a tampon station at a local toilet block, which, mind you, they had boy, girl, and wheelchair. I'm like, well, that's very left. Let's make sure that the boy image is on there too, because you never know when a boy might need to use a tampon. But like, that is not going to help people who are homeless and who are still unemployed because they refuse to get the jab. Priorities, people.
It is frustrating, isn't it? It's interesting that there's a $13,000 fine for somebody who refuses to get their digital ID. This was the same fine that a doctor was going to be fined in Victoria, I believe, if they were to prescribe hydroxychloroquine for somebody who wanted it as a prophylaxis against COVID. And I believe it was in Queensland where doctors were going to be punished with prison if they decided to attempt to prescribe, again, hydroxychloroquine for people for, again, protection against COVID. This is how wrong the system is in all of this. Now, Beck, we're down to our last 4 minutes together. Can you tell us how it is, first of all, that people can find and get on to Fair Business Australia and when the next event will be? Because it's a very urgent situation now for people in business to get informed.
Yeah, absolutely. So you have 1 hour left to join tonight's legal lecture, and you can get that by sending a messenger message through Facebook. So just search Fair Business Australia through Facebook. My face is plastered all over it. You'll see a blonde girl mouthing off. That's the page you need to go to, and just send us a messenger message and we will send you the link so you can register for tonight's legal seminar. If you can't make it tonight, it's next Thursday as well. Please follow the page and get contact with us so that we've got your email, so that if when we get deplatformed, we've actually still able to reach out to people. But together we can do this, folks. We really, really, really can. And it's just round two. There's plenty more rounds left to go. So if you missed the last one, get in now and let's get going together.
Yeah, indeed. And this idea of deplatforming a business advisory service is just an example of just how pathetic it has become now and how entrenched all of this is. And it is, as we predicted years ago, it is one big club, as George Carlin said, and we're not in it. And the beneficiaries are the overlords that serve, that make government workers their employees. And this is where it's all been inverted. Government is meant to work for the people. It doesn't. It works for the people that pay them. And those people that pay them are invisible and above. And we know them as the World Economic Forum. We know them as the World Health Organization. And we know them as all the billionaires that get free airtime on mainstream media all around the world talking about vaccines when they're neither a doctor nor elected to any form of office. And we're meant to take that as an authority. So it's pretty easy to see who form part of this club. But Beck, in all of this, and we've only got a couple of minutes left, and it's not really what we meant to talk about today, but this FTX scandal in terms of cryptocurrency, which is yet another example of setting up someone to be the big player in all of this, the crypto land. Now it's collapsed. And of course, the government immediately steps in with Janet Yellen of the US Fed saying we need to regulate crypto. But the point being that you regulate not to protect the individuals. You regulate to protect the crooks. We've seen it with Enron. We saw it with Bernie Madoff. And this is yet another FTT, the coin, yet another Ponzi scheme. And he admitted to as much on Bloomberg. Where is it that these clowns finally collapse? I think we are in the end game in all of this, but we do have many steps along the way that we must defend whilst we get there. But as of yesterday with Ukraine and this bomb missile landing in Poland, clearly not coming from Russia, meaning that it seems that Zelensky threw it over the fence. They are their own worst enemy now, and their days are limited. This should give you a whole lot more confidence. Minute to go. So we're just about to run out of time, Beck, but last thoughts before we go, 30 seconds.
Oh, folks, don't give them any room at all. They've not given you any wiggle room. Don't give them any wiggle room. Stand up, get talking with people, have those conversations across the dining room table. Understand that this is your time to step into leadership in your own sphere of influence, whether that be your family as a mother or a father or a grandmother or a grandmother, father or an auntie, uncle, or an employee or an employer. Everybody has a sphere of influence, and now is the time to stand. Now is the time to be counted. Now is the time to keep it in your mind that, as William Wallace said, if you don't take to this battle, you will die on your beds 50, 60 years from now, and you'll regret it. You will regret that you were passive during this time. Don't be passive. Stand with us. Together we rebuild.
Well said. Thanks, Rebecca Lloyd, Fair Business Australia. Check it out on Facebook or go to the website by Googling NewsNext.